Well, the Giants go for the sweep of the Colorado Rockies today. Anthony DeSclafani on the hill and Germán Márquez for the Colorado Rockies. Giants have won three straight. And Bill and I welcome in Kerry Crowley. Kerry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, Marty. Looking forward to getting back out to the ballpark this afternoon. It's been a good 2 days for the Giants. And looking forward to the next hour and a half of talking ball with you guys.
Well, I tell you what, Kerry, good game yesterday, and it prevailed with the bullpen really threw really well, four innings, and they shut him out. You know, when you look at this, the different roles these guys are making, we were talking during the game, Reyes Maranta coming in, I think his confidence has definitely improved. And then you kind of threw Tyler Rogers, which is a total different pitcher in there. The different style of pitching is what I want to talk about, and your thoughts on watching how this bullpen pieces are starting to fit this puzzle.
Yeah, Bill, it's really interesting when you look at the way the Giants navigated the final four innings on Saturday. It went Caleb Berger, who's the lefty, kind of more traditional three-quarters release, and then Maranta, the righty, who's heavy with the sliders, then Rogers, who no one throws like Tyler Rogers in all of baseball now that Brad Ziegler's out of the game, and then you finish it off with McGee, who's very similar to Caleb Berger in that he's a left-hander, three-quarters guy, all fastballs, and McGee has just been unhittable so far, and you've talked about it, Marty's talked about it, I've talked about it, but it deserves repeating how good Jake McGee has been because it stabilizes the rest of the bullpen and allows the Giants to find roles for the other guys. And we were texting when Reyes Maranta came in yesterday, Bill. It was really interesting to see who Gabe Kapler was going to go with in that seventh inning. We knew that Rogers would probably be the eighth inning guy, and Maranta's slider has been really good, Marty, though the fastball velocity isn't quite there yet, still averaging around 94.5. It's the slider that's been his dominant pitch, and he's proven that he can still be an effective right-handed reliever going to that offering.
Well, they're going to need right-handed relief. There's no question about it. Rogers looks like he can pitch every other day. Whistler is still, I'm not convinced yet on him, and Maranta's coming back from surgery. Mm-hmm. So this is something, they've got a lot of right-handers in Sacramento. When do you think we'll see a move, some roster move? I was wondering about Austin Slater. I said, boy, we haven't heard from him in a day or two. Maybe he's in trouble. When do you see a move coming up?
Well, I'll tell you, Marty, Gabe Kapler has not released today's lineup yet, and we're still 2 hours from first pitch. That's about as late as it can get. Gabe Kapler has not met with beat reporters yet, and I know that the trade went down this morning. We'll get to that between the Giants and the Yankees, but that was a trade that didn't impact the Major League roster. So I'm wondering if something could be in the works right now. If not, then I don't know quite yet how quickly they would give up on a relief pitcher who's not working out for them. Whistler is the guy who comes to mind, but they gave him $1 million this offseason. Yeah. He's got the track record of success, and Farhan usually waits about a month before moving on from veteran guys. We saw it in 2019 with Gerardo Parra, Yanhervi Solarte. It was May when they were DFA'd. We saw it last year with Hunter Pence and Pablo Sandoval. They both got a month of games. And so I don't think that they would move on from a veteran reliever without options until you're about a month into the season, and he's really proven that he's not the same caliber of pitcher, Bill.
You know, Kerry, we look at this Colorado Rocky team, and Marty and I have talked about the offense they're bringing, and boy, they got rid of Nolan Arenado, and I just don't think their offense has even come close to what they can do, and I don't think they realized how much Arenado was really an impact player in this lineup. You know, watching this team for the last two games, I just don't see any punch in this lineup, and I'd like to hear your opinion on it.
Oh, no question. I think that the Arenado trade significantly weakened this lineup, Bill, because when the Giants pitchers would face this team for the last few years, you could always count on the Rockies being really tough at the top with Charlie Blackmon, Trevor Story, and Nolan Arenado. Just about every time those guys came through the lineup, at least one of them was going to get a hit, and they all had extra base power. And now you look at this Colorado lineup, and it's really just a 1-2 punch in Story and Blackmon. There's no one else who really scares you. Garrett Hampson has had good numbers throughout his career against the Giants, but he's not a major league caliber leadoff hitter if you look at his career stats. And you go to the second spot in the order, Ryan McMahon, he's off to a good start, but is he going to be a long-term solution? CJ Krohn, who was acquired on a minor league deal, is hitting fifth for them. So I just wonder about Colorado's long-term viability at offense. And, you know, when you play at Coors Field, you don't need a ton of sluggers to have success, but you do need a lineup that can, you know, win a few shootouts. And that's what's going to happen in Colorado this year. It's what happens in Colorado every year. And that's why I think that this Rockies team is probably ticketed for 100 losses, especially in a division where you've got the Dodgers, the Padres, and now the Giants looking good through eight games, Marty.
Well, they're a speed team now. They went for four stolen bases yesterday. They've got a big park in Colorado, and they're going for speed. But As I'll say it again, you know, this is a team when they hit in Colorado, okay. But when they don't hit a lot in Colorado, and along the lines of what you just talked about, and then they go on the road, they're really bad. And that's where we're at right now. They don't have that punch on the road. And yesterday, look, they could have won the game yesterday. But Bud Black did what he's supposed to do. Look, he's got a lefty on the team, and he's got Dickerson to deal with. So they bring him in, and he walks him. He walks Flores, and here comes Crawford. And he misses his target on Crawford, and he knocks it out, a three-run homer, and he loses the game. So the Rockies are a team that they're struggling. They are struggling right now for their new identity, I'll tell you that. But there was a minor move here. Well, two things. One, Kapler yesterday, Kerry, had a very interesting comment. He said, well, the bench is a little short, but tomorrow, believe me, the bench will be fine, which sort of led me to believe maybe they're going to put a sack over Slater and take him out and leave him somewhere in the desert or something. But you know what I mean? It was a weird comment that made me think something was going to happen. And the second thing is they did make a minor move today.
Yeah, I'll start with the comment about having the bench full. I do wonder if it was about vaccinations, because we heard from Gabe Kapler that Evan Longoria gave his approval when he was not in the starting lineup on Friday to, you know, let reporters know, let fans know that he was in the lineup because he'd been experiencing side effects from the J&J shot. And so I wonder if there were a few other players who didn't necessarily have the chance to talk to Gabe Kapler who were held out of the lineup who'd had their vaccinations. That was just the first thing that came to mind. Total speculation, but I do
reasonable.
That was reasonable.
I went to the criminal law side.
Of course you did. And that's your background as a lawyer. This is my background as an epidemiologist, Marty. But with regard to the trade this morning, Farhan said at the end of spring training that he wanted a backup shortstop to play at the AAA level this year, because really Marco Luciano was the top shortstop depth in spring training, and Luciano's going to start the season at low A San Jose. So there's a long way to go for him. They acquired Tyro Estrada out of the Yankees organization. He was a rising prospect as far back as 2017, ended up being shot in the hip in Venezuela, his home country, in an armed robbery in early 2018. And so he's been fighting his way back, had a little time in 2019, 2020 with the Yankees, mostly as a defensive substitute, can play both middle infield positions. But I do think that the Giants will have him open the season as the AAA Rivercats starting shortstop. And, you know, if anything happens to Brandon Crawford, Mauricio Dubon, he could easily find his way up to the major league level just to provide depth at that position.
What does this mean for your guy, Hack Wilson?
Well, Will Wilson will probably start the season down at High A, Eugene. And don't be surprised if Will Wilson's hitting 15 to 20 homers in the majors in the month of September, Marty. You know how I feel about his offensive potential.
He needs a position. Okay.
Yeah, I tend to think Will Wilson's more of a second baseman, but the Giants are adamant that he's a shortstop. So we will see, Bill. We will see with regard to Hack Will Wilson.
Yeah, I want to ask both of you guys a question here. You know, it's early. I know we only played 8 games, but there's 2 guys in this lineup that I'm a little concerned about, and they're really not doing what we both can see it. And that's Yastrzemski, who's 3-for-28. Is the hand still bothering him? And Mauricio Dubon, 2-for-16. I'd like to hear both of your insights on what you're seeing on both of these guys.
Go ahead, Kerr.
Well, I'll start with Yastrzemski. And, Bill, to me, it's just he's rolling over everything to the right side of the infield. You know, when Yastrzemski is going well, he's hitting the ball in the air, and oftentimes he is swinging and missing, because to get that elevation to where he drives the ball to the power alleys, drives the ball over the fence, he's trying to loft pitches. And right now it just seems like he's fighting himself at the plate. He's focused a little too much on, you know, soft contact just for the sake of making contact. And he's someone who's still striking out quite a bit, but just way too many ground balls to the right side of the infield. So something doesn't seem quite right, and I do wonder if the hand is still affecting him. And with regard to Mauricio Dubon, Marty, he had 2 very hard hit balls in Saturday's game, both over 100 miles an hour, that were caught. We haven't seen the same type of plate discipline that we saw from him during spring training. So he's off to a slow start, but he has barreled up some pitches that would lead you to believe that a breakout or at least some better numbers are on the way.
Well, he's not a power hitter, and he's got to realize that. And I think he thinks he's a power hitter. And just if he becomes a line drive, I'm talking about Dubon, becomes a line drive hitter, he'll be a lot better. Now, he's gotten a couple of hits to right field on hanging curveballs and sliders, and he's taken them the other way. But this guy, to me, has got to become a line drive hitter. And I think they messed with the launch angle with him, and I think that he's got to understand who he is. And that's my take on Dubon. On Yastrzemski, he's having trouble catching up with that high fastball, and he's just a a second off of squaring up pitches. He's just not squaring them up, and that usually means a slump until you get your eye. So I'm more in a slump on Yastrzemski. And for DeBoen, I think he's got to realize, hey, let me just be a line drive hitter, and I'll do better. I don't know, Bill. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does, because, you know, I'm same with Carey on Yastrzemski. I just don't think his plate discipline, it's not there yet. And I just wonder if that hand is bothering him, because it just doesn't seem like he's got that pop that we know he has. And you know, he's on base a lot. Mm-hmm. Just the first eight games, he struggled. DeBoen just, he isn't that same hitter. And I think Carey hit it in spring training. He seemed to get on base more, and he was watching the pitch more. I just think he's being over-aggressive sometimes. And sure, he hit the ball real well yesterday. It didn't fall in. I just wonder what he's going to do if he falls deeper in his hole, and if he's got a mindset to get out of this slump. And that's what I look at young players.
You know, Bill, it's interesting watching Mauricio Dubon, because you think that with his swing, with his skill set, with his offensive profile, he should model his game after Donovan Solano. He should be modeling his game as a contact first player who can, you know, doesn't matter where the pitch is thrown. If it's on the outside corner, go with it to right field. Inside corner, yank it down the line. But I don't see that approach yet from Mauricio Dubon. And I wonder if he's being coached in a different way, and if the Giants are just trying to get him more comfortable laying off pitches. Because remember, when he first came up as a rookie in 2019, we saw him chasing down below the strike zone a lot. And last year, he laid off a lot of those pitches. His on-base percentage improved significantly in the month of September. And so now they're looking for him to take that next step forward. And I wonder if that next step has him looking more like Donovan Solano at the plate, Marty.
Yeah, I think he should. I really do. I think he's a great kid. He's great energy. He does his best in the outfield, and he's learning a position. And I think he's got to realize, even if he put on 10 or 12 pounds, 15 pounds, he's not Dickerson. Mm-hmm. Just as you say, just hit the ball and hit it hard. I don't have to know the miles per hour or anything else. I just want to see you hit line drives. That's the whole thing.
I got to know the exit velocity, Marty.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know the launch angle, exit velocity, the expected batting average.
I don't care what it is.
Give it all to me.
He's hitting 212. How about that? That's his expected batting average. So.
That's his batting average. I want to know the expected batting average, Marty. Is he due for a regression to the norm?
You can expect it tonight while you're dreaming. Time now to relive the home run. We got more coming up, by the way. Time now to relive the home run of the week, sponsored by River Islands. Come home to River Islands in Lathrop and discover $1 million lifestyle for about half the price. You can visit online today at riverislands.com. And this is the home run from yesterday with Crawford.
Three balls and two strikes to Brandon Crawford. Tries to do some damage here in the sixth inning with one out. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive, deep to right field, out of here, and the Giants take the lead. Brandon Crawford does it again, back-to-back days, and the Giants are on top 4-3. And listen to this crowd. If you closed your eyes, you'd think there was 30,000.
It's true. It's true. The crowd is great. A great call by Dwayne and a big home run for Brandon Crawford. All right, we've got more coming up, Bill, Carey, and I. We've got a lot more to talk about in this last hour of the show, and we're going to do it right after these messages. Vansbridge Bank does so many nice things for the community. We'd love to have you call Sheetal Cordova, Jesse Garcia, or Mike Letterman. A lot of things going on at Bridge Bank. The commercial products like the 504 commercial real estate loans, equipment financing, or treasury management services. With all the things happening now in government, Dale Marie Golden is the best, and I appreciate all her hard work. So it's Bridge Bank, member of the FDIC and the Western Alliance Bank family. All right, nice having you back. Carey was going to have Maria Guardado on, and she covers the Giants on MLB.com. But, Carey, I think we're still waiting for Gabe Kapler's Zoom conference, right?
Still waiting for Gabe Kapler's Zoom. Still waiting for the Giants lineup, Marty. We're an hour and 45 minutes from first pitch, and the Giants have not told us anything about today's ballgame other than Anthony DeSclafani. And before we get into another conversation, I wanted to bring this up. Mauricio Dubon, you mentioned he's 2-for-16. Batting average at 125, slugging percentage at 125, but his expected slugging percentage, Marty, is 481. So expect a big breakout from Mauricio Dubon if he keeps hitting the ball like this, Bill.
And when would that expected breakout happen? What if you're saying this in July?
That's a good question. You know, this was Evan Longoria all year last year. He hit the ball hard, but he always hit it at someone. In his 60-game season, it never normalized. It never, you know, broke out like he would in a 162-game season. But Mauricio Dubon, the quality of contact is good. The results, not so much. Small sample size.
Yeah, small sample size. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Kerry and Marty, I want to open up something with both you guys too. And you know, we talk about the defense on this club, and Marty had talked earlier only having two errors in eight games, but I'm seeing so much more excitement out of the infield, so many better plays. It seems like they're more confident in the outfield as well as the infield. Some great plays from Johnny Cueto off the mound, and of course yesterday, Posey throwing two runners out. I'd like to hear both of you on what highlights have you seen on the defensive side in the first eight games?
Well, I'll start there. They made two errors in eight games. And their expected errors would be six, but they've only made two.
You're making this up, Marty.
So, yes, I am.
Projections.
Yes. You know, their two errors it tells the story, truthfully. They've turned double plays. Solano's turned a couple of nice double plays. Longoria has. It's Belt, Longoria, Crawford, that stability. And Woe said it, Posey behind the plate. And they haven't gotten hurt anywhere else. Dickerson hasn't hurt him in left. Ruff hasn't hurt him. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. And I think the defense is huge because there's three aspects to the game, pitching, fielding, and hitting. And they're pitching 2.66 earned run average. Let's see, Giants, I'm sorry, 2.61 for the starting pitching. It's third in the National League, and they're catching the ball. So it's good.
You know what I would go to, Marty? We saw the first 18 games of last summer, the Giants made 21 errors. In the final 42 games, they made 21 errors. And the Giants talked all along about how not having an extended ramp up to the regular season and only having summer camp and all the COVID protocols they had to follow, they said that that really affected the continuity and stability in the infield. So I think, Bill, having a full spring training where, yes, Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford and Evan Longoria weren't always playing together, but they were getting work in together in the mornings before Cactus League games. You saw Donovan Solano work a lot at second base. The Giants really wanted him to be comfortable there. You saw Wilmer Flores working at three different positions. Tommy La Stella get the necessary reps he needed at second base and first base. And so I think that having that regular Cactus League build up to the season, that has made the Giants a much cleaner defensive team out of the gates, Bill.
And, you know, both of you have brought good points up here. You know, the starting pitching has been great, and the reason is they're catching the ball for him. Pitch counts are down. All of them have lasted five innings or more in the first eight games. And Kerry, you bring a great point at how troubling they were last year. It was ugly for the first few games when they played the Dodgers. And, you know, that just builds less confidence when a pitcher's got to get that ground ball, and you're like, oh, do I go for a strikeout, or am I going to try to get a ground ball? And it all plays all in a big part in that clubhouse, because you bring that confidence with the gloves and you build that confidence with the bats coming from behind yesterday and getting that win. That continuity of this team is just gelling more and more, and that's what we want to see, especially out of a veteran team, Marty.
Well, they're hitting home runs, and the home runs are winning games, and there are a lot of close games. They're not scoring a lot of runs here. So you can't do that forever. You can't hit under 200. Now, there are a lot of teams off to slow starts. I don't want to, you can't, you know, pick on the Giants too much. But at some point, you got to move the line along. You know, you've got to get those five or six hits in a row with a couple of walks. And right now, they're getting a couple of walks and then the long ball or a big hit in the gap. That's got to change. And that's, they're getting away with it right now. But the offensive side has got to be a little bit better.
Absolutely. And Marty, what I would add to that is they're facing someone today in Herman Marquez who they have faced in the past. He's had success, but he's also had his poor outings against them. And I wonder if facing a pitcher you're familiar with early in the season, maybe Bill can speak to this. You know, you faced lineups early in the season that you probably saw a lot more than others. If that extra level of comfort of having seen what a guy has to offer, knowing that Marquez is going to be 95, 96 in the strike zone, knowing that he's got the slider that he likes to go to in certain situations, if that can increase the Giants' comfort level at the plate, get them back in a rhythm, get them back in a role like we haven't seen so far yet, just because they are familiar with the way that Marquez has pitched against them in the past, Bill.
and here you make a big point. You know, starting pitchers look at scouting reports, and you know in the back of your mind what you got those guys out on in the past. And you know what? Nobody's going to go up there. If you can't hit a slider in 3 months, you're going to hit a slider now. So he's going to know when he can pinpoint a pitch, when he can throw a ball inside to go back to the outside. And it's always a guessing game. But anytime a starting pitcher knows what he can do to certain players and certain situations he gets into, you go back to your bread and butter. And that's one thing we know from Herman Marquez is he's got a good slider and he gets a lot of ground balls. So Dickerson's probably going to be in there today. He's 6-for-12 off of him. LaStella 5-for-8. So a couple of these lineup changes, a lefty and a righty, but they have to get some hits. And I agree with Marty. The offense can't just dwell on five hits and get wins out of it. They have to get some productive hits and they got to get some guys on base and move the guys along.
Well, we'll see what Marquez throws because, as Woe said, it's turned into a breaking ball league. And, Bill, you point out the belt was 9-for-22. Crawford 9-for-25 with a home run. Dickerson, as you said, 6-for-12. LaStella 5-for-8. Posey 4-for-12 with a homer. He probably won't play today. Solano 2-for-3. Yaz 3-for-8 with a homer. So he has not been a mystery to these guys. Now, when I think of Marquez, I think of a pitch down, a slider down. Maybe he'll turn into a different kind of pitcher today and try to go to more breaking stuff. And if he does that, he'll get crazy with the walks because he walked six in the Dodgers start. And this year he's pitched 10 innings, 11 hits, 4 runs, a homer, 8 walks, and 7 strikeouts. So maybe they've taken over Marquez's mind now and they got him doing the breaking balls and he hasn't been able to master it.
Yeah, you really have seen the breaking ball percentage from Marquez increase over the past few years, Marty. Slider. It's the curveball that he uses just as much. And, you know, whiff percentages in the 40s with those pitches the past few years. And that means that, you know, 4 out of 10 times that he's throwing his breaking pitches, hitters are swinging and missing. It's not just, you know, are hitters making soft contact? They're swinging and missing. And that's a great sign for him. And so I wonder what his career would look like outside of Colorado if he didn't have to pitch at Coors Field, where it's so difficult to throw the breaking ball. Two breaking balls and get the distinct shapes on those pitches. Man, Herman Marquez could be really good if he ended up going elsewhere.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we look at Jake McGee and his troubles at Colorado and look how much he turned around in L.A. And now you see a different kind of pitcher in him of how he transferred his career around. And I'm right there with you. When these guys get out of Coors Field, they have a different psych, different mindset. And when they go on the road, they pitch differently than they do in Coors. So it's going to be an anticipation on how they're going to attack him today and how much they can attack him what Marty says, getting walks, productive outs, and seeing if they get some early runs for Disco, Anthony DiSclafani.
I'm glad you said it. Okay, very good, Bill.
I got one in there, Marty.
Tony Disco.
All right, we're going to take a break. Our Giants pregame is coming up. I'll talk to Barry Bloom of Sportico, and Kerry's going to talk to Mark Sanchez, and then Kerry's on the pregame today. Kerry's going to handle everything the rest of the way. So we're a team. We like to split it up, and that's what we're going to do today. So more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.